Hello and welcome to the Portland Christian Center podcast. The following message entitled, A Prophetic Call and Golden Opportunity, How Portland Christian Center Can Change the World, is from Sunday, January 10th, 2010, and is part two of our Sunday morning series entitled, Taking the Whole Gospel to the Whole World for the Whole Man. This message is presented to us this week by our lead pastor, Pastor Ray Noah. So now, let's join Pastor Ray as he shares with us this week's message.
This year. Seriously, I want to change the world. That's on my agenda for 2010. I don't know what's on your to-do list, but this year, I'm going to change the world. Now, I know what you're thinking, that maybe I'm suffering from delusions of grandeur or a messiah complex or mental illness. No, it's none of those things. Maybe the mental illness, but I'm serious. Specifically, literally, I want to change the world. I'm not exaggerating. This is not just a pastor speaking in evangelistic terms. I really want to change the world. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you where that desire comes from. It comes from this sense that I have, a strong and what's really become an undeniable sense, that I have a prophetic call upon my life to change the world. And that prophetic call has been intersected now by a golden opportunity to be used of God to see the world change, to change the world. I'm going to change the world. And I'd like your help. I want you to help me. I think it's only fair to ask you, since that prophetic call is upon your life too. By the way, that's a big reason why I'm here at Portland Christian Center. When Lynn and I were considering leaving a church in California before we came here, leaving that church that we thought that we would never leave. We thought we would be there until we were old and retired. And then suddenly considering the possibility of relocating back to Portland, to a place that we never dreamed we would return to. One of the strong indications in determining if that was God's will, I mean, there's a lot of things that you look at to say, God, are you in this? But one of the strong determinations, factors in that, was our sense of that same kind of prophetic call upon this church. We knew in our heart of hearts that God had a prophetic call upon Portland Christian Center. And when I say prophetic call, what I mean by that is that God has specifically spoken that his will for this or for that or for me or for you or for this place, this is what it is, a specific word, desire from God. That God had a prophetic call upon Portland Christian Center to be a world-changing church. God has destined Portland Christian Center in the DNA of this church, in God's eternal plans for this church, is a world-impacting, world-shaking, world-shaping church. And so now that our callings have intersected, the calling that's upon my life prophetically and the calling that's upon your life, this church, now that those two callings are our calling together, we're going to change the world. And there's an opportunity, a golden opportunity, that has presented itself. How are we going to do that? How can we change the world? Well, I'll tell you, one of the strong ways that that's going to happen in 2010 is that Portland Christian Center is going to plant 250 churches in Ethiopia. That's what's on my agenda, and now what's on our agenda as a church. This year, think about that, we are going to plant 250 churches in 2010 in the nation of Ethiopia. And so I want to talk to you this morning about that. This is going to be a different message. Normally, I would take a passage and kind of, we would work our way through it and make application. But I just kind of want to visit with you about what I see God has laid out before us as a congregation. So this is kind of a vision Sunday, if you will, what I believe God is calling us to, and what, if we will respond to it, what he will enable us to do this year, 2010. And it will be nothing less than world-changing. Portland Christian Center is going to rock the world. The world is going to shift on its axis. There's going to be something that we will experience this year and be a part of instigating, if you will, this year, that will literally be beyond anything that we've ever experienced before. And it will change our lives. It will change our lives individually. It is going to change us as a congregation. And so I want to talk about that this morning. I want to explore this prophetic call a little bit more because I think it's important that we have that as a foundation. And then I want to describe to you this opportunity that is before us that we can respond to or not. And I think we're going to. We're going to change the world in 2010. And why not? Why not? Who says we can't? I mean, we're in good company after all. I mean, God wants to change the world. By the way, God is not Morgan Freeman, if you were wondering about that. That's not God, just, you know. Keep that in mind. But God is going to change the world. God wants to change the world. That's why he sent his son into this world. You know, the most famous verse in all the Bible, this is, you know, universally the most famous verse in the Bible, John chapter 3 and verse 16, and followed by verse 17, says this: God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through the son. The father is out to change the world. And so too is the son. That's why after his miraculous birth, his sinless life, his vicarious suffering and his death and his glorious resurrection, Jesus commissioned his disciples in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, to go into all the world and to preach the good news to all creation. The Son is serious about changing a world that he died for. And so is the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts tells us that's why the Holy Spirit fell on the believers at Pentecost. Not just to enable them to speak in tongues, to have a heavenly language, a spiritual language. Not just to have the gifts of the Spirit be able to flow as they gather together in the body of Christ for corporate worship. Not just to give us the spiritual warm and fuzzies because we sense the Holy Spirit moving. All of those are fine. All of those are benefits of the Holy Spirit's coming and falling and filling his people. But the primary reason, friends, the primary reason that the Holy Spirit was given, we find in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. So that Christ's followers, through the power of the Holy Spirit, would be empowered, equipped to be witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. By the way, I think I found the end of the earth. I was there. It's in Ethiopia. I mean, it is as far away from civilization as you can get. We've been called to go even to the ends of the world, the ends of the earth, to talk about Jesus, to tell the good news. The Holy Spirit is all about changing the world. So at the top of the Holy Trinity's agenda, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is a world that needs changing. And here's the deal. They're looking for partners. They're looking for partners. You see, God's plan for world change doesn't happen without human partners. It never does. It never does. God looks for people to partner with him to bring about his plan to change the world, to rescue and redeem the world. And that's why he's calling you and me and PCC to fully commit, to fully align ourselves, to fully give ourselves to his agenda. That's the invitation before us in 2010, people, that we would fully commit to God's agenda over our own. Now, there's a huge upside to this. There's a huge upside to those who will fully align their lives, fully radically and ruthlessly alter their agenda to fit into God's plans. We talked a little bit about that last week. I gave you a verse and I asked you to commit it to memory, and I want to read it to you again. It's 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. This is what God will do for those who will fully commit to his plan. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord search back and forth across the whole earth." God is scouring. He's scanning the earth. By the way, I hope he stops looking when he sees Portland Christian Center. He says, "Yeah, I found my people fully committed to me." He says, looking for people whose hearts are perfect toward him. We discovered last week that a perfect heart really means a fully committed heart. A heart that's fully his, a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, whose hearts are perfect toward him so that he can show his great power in helping them. The key to the release of God's power and God's help, God's provision and God's resourcing of your life in 2010, and his empowering and his help and his resourcing for Portland Christian Center in 2010 is that we would get our hearts, and when the Bible speaks of hearts, it's really speaking about all of us, not only our heart, but our mind, our plans, our schedules, our energies, even our finances, which is always one of the last areas of our lives that we bring under the submission, under submission, or into submission to the Lord. Our everyday lives, our 24/7 eating, sleeping, breathing, walking around, doing business, going to bed, getting up, lives before God, that we fully surrender our entire lives to his agenda. And when we do that, his promise is, I will show you my power and I will help you. I like how King David talked about this in one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 37, verses 4 through 7. David says, delight yourself in the Lord. In other words, put God first. Make his plans your plans. Align your agenda with his agenda. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Wow. Commit your way to the Lord and trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, and the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 that if you will seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, in other words, you will make the expansion and the fulfillment of the kingdom of God on earth, the righteous rule of God. If you will put that first in your life, then all of these things, Jesus says, will be added unto you as well. What are all these things that Jesus is talking about? He's talking about the cares and the concerns, the daily needs of our lives. He says, put God first, and he will take care of those things that concern you. That's God's unbreakable promise to us, that if we will fully devote ourselves, fully commit ourselves, fully align ourselves to his plans for changing the world, we're going to change the world in 2010. So you might be asking the question, well, why plant churches? I mean, you know, what's the reason for that? And specifically, why plant 250 churches in Ethiopia? Well, let me address that by framing this, first of all, in terms of this prophetic call that I've talked about. This prophetic call that's upon me as your spiritual leader and upon this church that God has placed. I just read three New Testament verses describing the Godhead's desire, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, their desire to redeem the world. And the simple fact is, God's plan for changing the world has always been through the local church. Now think about this. God's plan for changing the world has always come about through the local church. The local church is the only hope of the world. The Apostle Paul said, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. The word you there in the Greek language is not in the singular form, it's in the plural form. So he's talking to the body of Christ. Christ in us, Christ in you, the hope of this community, the hope of this world, the hope of glory. The local church is the only hope of the world. And so that is why our missions efforts, our missions, are not only our mission as a church, but our missions ministry, that is why our missions effort has to focus more and more on that fact that God works through local churches. And so we must endeavor more than ever before, I believe this is God's call upon us. We must endeavor more and more to plant local churches. So I'm asking our missions committee that as they evaluate missions that we support, as they allocate or reallocate missions resources that come into this church, that they keep that as a high value, that they think very strategically about helping this church to be involved, when at all possible, in planning local congregations around the world. You see, I'm convinced this is the prophetic mandate that not only explains our reason for being, but the cause for our continuation. The reason we're here today as a church, the reason God has blessed this church, is because of this prophetic call to take the gospel around the world, to establish and strengthen congregations wherever we go. That's why we exist, and that's why we will continue to exist. And if we are to thrive in the future, this is why we will thrive. Portland Christian Center exists to spread God's glory and God's fame among all the people of the world. Romans chapter 9, verse 17 says, "I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth." David said in Psalm 67, verse 2, he prayed, "Send us around the world with the news of your saving power and your eternal plan for mankind." Send us around the world with the good news. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 19. There God promises to send messengers to lands beyond the sea that have not heard of my fame or have seen my glory. Those verses are our prophetic mandate. Now you say, well, aren't those verses equally applicable for other churches, other Christians as well? In a general sense, yes. But I'm convinced they're our prophetic mandate, that these are to be specifically taken, received, embraced, and applied as our mandate. And what I love about this mandate, is that when Portland Christian Center reaches people with the gospel where they are, whether it's in Ethiopia or Nicaragua or wherever we go, wherever we reach people with the good news, their response to the gospel in that place is this church planted there. Think about that. Their response to the gospel is this church in that place. Our missions effort is simply the potential and the practice of a Portland Christian Center exported to people afar. Our missions giving and our missions going simply honors this local church in seeing that it's worth duplicating elsewhere. And listen, from this perspective, as I look out on this congregation and as I understand what God has equipped and called this ministry to do, as I see what we've been able to do in the past, I think we are worth duplicating, replicating elsewhere. I believe that Portland Christian Center is worth exporting all around the world. And that's why I'm passionate about us planting churches wherever God opens the door. That thrills my heart as a pastor, it really does. I will give myself until the day I die to that cause. But even better than that, best of all, wherever we take the gospel and wherever we plant churches, we fulfill God's agenda. If nothing else, we're fulfilling God's agenda. And that's best of all. And when we do that, we make God smile. We bring pleasure to the Father. We spread His fame. We bring Him glory. All the glory belongs to God alone. And as we do this, as we fulfill our mandate, as we plant churches around the world, God is glorified. We take care of that which God cares about most. God cares about lost people. Let's not forget that. God cares about people especially who have never heard of His fame or have experienced His glory or have heard the gospel story of His saving grace through Jesus Christ. And when we take care of that, God has promised that He will take care of us. When we take care of the things that God cares about, God will take care of the things that we care about. And I love what David said. We read the psalm earlier in Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. What is it that God wants? God wants people everywhere to know Him. God wants people everywhere to come into His family, into His kingdom. God has designed that people everywhere that come to Him will be planted, implanted, connected in a local congregation. That's why Jesus said, I will build my church. And none of the forces of hell will be able to withstand it. That was Jesus' plan to reach the world, to establish the church all around the world. And He said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom in extending my kingdom through the planting of churches. I will give you the very keys of the kingdom of heaven. You will have those at your disposal as you fulfill your mandate to take the gospel around the world and to plant churches wherever you go. Someone has said that God is most glorified in us. We've talked about how we want to be a church that glorifies God, that God, through our efforts, will receive the glory alone, soli Deo Gloria. Someone has said that God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. And our satisfaction in Him is at its greatest when we're reaching others for Him. Oh, there's no thrill like it, friends. There is no thrill like sharing your faith with someone who's lost. There's no thrill like leading a lost person to Christ. And I'll tell you what, there is no thrill like going wherever God sends you and starting a local congregation and seeing the kingdom of God take root in that place. It is satisfying, immensely satisfying. And it brings a sense of significance like nothing else. God has called us to go, to take the news, to plant churches. And by doing that, friends, we're going to change the world in 2010. Now, that's the prophetic why. That's the compelling reason. That is God's call upon this church, our mandate. It's important that we understand that. This isn't just the pastor's pipe dream. This is God's call upon this congregation. And an opportunity has arisen. I want to talk to you about it. I call it a golden opportunity to do just what we've been talking about. To do that by planting 250 congregations, 250 little Portland Christian centers in the nation of Ethiopia. I need to provide some context, so I'll retell the story of how I got involved in that and then talk about this new opportunity. Most of you know that about 7 years ago, I, along with Charles Blair, my mentor and friend, led the charge in a church planting effort in Ethiopia. We had been invited to come to one of Ethiopia's 9 federal regions, the federal state of Benishango Gumuz. I can say that, but I can't say Nicaragua. It's in the western part of Ethiopia, near the Sudan, and it is the most remote and accessible, inhospitable place that you can imagine. There were only 5 churches in this territory that's about the same size as the state of West Virginia. Only 5 churches, just a few hundred believers. And the president of that region was a Christ follower. He was in a 5-year term, and about 3 years into this term, he said, as a Christian, I need to use my faith to be a blessing to my region. I know what I'll do. I'll plant churches. If I plant churches, there's 3,000 villages in my region that I know of. If I can get 1,000 churches established, those 1,000 churches can reach the other 2,000 villages, and I know my region will be better because of it, and I know that the kingdom of God will be blessed if I can do that. And so he, you know, long story short, he found this ministry that I'm a part of, and he asked us to come and to plant 1,000 churches, and we said, yes, we will. And here was the catch to it. We only had 2 years to do it because he only had 2 years left in his term. And he had a Muslim vice president that was going to succeed him. And as you might imagine, the Muslims weren't all that excited about us coming to start churches there. And so there was great pressure for us to do this in 2 years. Now, we had figured through our research that it would take $1,850 to start each congregation. It would start and support the congregation. It would support the pastor for 2 years. It would even build the building, $1,850. I wish we could do that here. Wouldn't that be great? And so we set about to raise the money and to plant these churches, and God really helped us. In that two-year period of time, we raised nearly $2 million. And on the very last day of that two-year period, on the very last day, we planted our 1,000th church. Amazing. I mean, it's a miracle. It really is. But more than that, God began to change that region. It began to grow. A revival was set loose as these churches took root. And we saw signs and we saw wonders and we saw miracles that are almost unbelievable to Americans hearing this story. We saw entire Muslim populations have collective visions of Jesus Christ and in mass get up from their mosque and come to our church planter and say, "Tell us, what must we do to be saved?" We saw demonic deliverances. We saw witch doctors and Muslim imams that were delivered from the clutches of the evil one, from demons, and get saved. And because they got saved, then the entire village would get saved as well. We even saw the dead being raised. We have accounts of the dead being raised. And the growth of the church over there was absolutely phenomenal. Today, 7 years later, we not only have 1,000 churches, we have 1,397 to be exact, and growing. We now have 70,000 Christ followers by count that are in those churches. When there were only a few hundred before, we now have 70,000. In fact, we don't, because it's so remote and inaccessible, we haven't been able to get all of the reports. And so I suspect that we probably have 100,000 believers in those churches. Now, just do the math. That region has 1 million people in it, and we're close to 100,000 in just 7 years belonging to Jesus. It is very possible for that region to belong to Jesus Christ, to fully belong to Jesus Christ before long. Now, I don't know about you, but that excites me, and I love being a part of something like that. It is unique in the world. I don't know of any place else where it's happening quite like this, but God put his finger on that remote region, and he said, "I'm going to start something here." Now, as you know, this past year, my friend and mentor, Charles Blair, went to be with Jesus. And so I was left with this mission. The baton was passed to me. And in fact, a couple of years prior to his death, he had physically had not been able to operate the way he had in the past. And so I had been carrying on that mission. And so I was then left wondering, God, what's next? What do we do next? We're wrapping up this mission here. We've hit our targets, and I want to move on to the other eight regions. And God, open the door. What do you want us to do next? You know, along the way, by the way, along the way of this project, God had planted in my heart a vision, a compelling vision to plant 10,000 churches in Ethiopia. 10,000 churches. How am I going to do that? Well, it's no big deal to God. If he calls you to do it, he will enable you to do it. If God is guiding you to some place, God will provide for you in that place. But I was frustrated because I felt the call, but I didn't sense the open door. Where do we go next? And then in the meantime, we had come to Portland Christian Center. And I was wondering, God, will the people of Portland Christian Center embrace this vision that you've given me? And so I came here and I talked to the board of deacons about it, and they fully embraced it and encouraged me and said, "Yes, this is our vision now as well." And over this last year, you have stepped up and you've supported that vision. You've helped me to fund our leadership staff in Ethiopia over the past year. You've helped us to dig some wells so that we can provide clean water for the people. And you have embraced this vision. But still, I'm waiting for an open door. About a year ago, not quite a year ago, I received a letter from one of our very first church planters. He's a guy that had gone out early on in this ministry and had established a church, and his name is Bekele Godeta, Pastor Bekele Godeta. And he has started a church in the city of Gojo, the community of Gojo, in a region called Oromia. Oromia is the largest and the most important and really by population the biggest of all of the nine regions in Ethiopia, Oromia. 18 million people live in that region. Bekele planted a church, and now Bekele's congregation runs 3,000. In fact, Bekele himself, out of his ministry, has planted has planted another 26 churches. And so this guy has church planting DNA. It just exudes from him. I was able to talk to him when we went this past November. I said, so what's your long-term goal? And he says, I'm going to plant 2,000 churches. I mean, that's his vision. He is a church planter. By the way, I need to add that in that church, there's a ministry of prophets. I mean, like we have a music department or a CE department or a children's department. They have a prophet department. I'm not kidding you. They happen to take seriously that the prophets are for today. And they can speak to the God can speak specifically to the church. And I wish I could tell you, I wish I had time to tell you the stories, the prophetic stories that have come out of that church that have happened, specific, detailed things that have happened. But these prophets prophesied long before we got connected with them that foreigners would come and help them to plant these churches. And when we were there, they prophesied over our team. And they said, you're those foreigners. And besides helping us to do this, God is going to take care of you. They said, Satan has put obstacles in the way of Portland Christian Center. The prophet had a picture of the fire of God coming down and burning away those obstacles from our path. And they said that you will be involved, you, me, and us, Portland Christian Center, you will be involved in planting numerous churches all around the world. The prophets have spoken, and I believe that those prophets are from God. Well, not quite a year ago, I received a letter. I received a letter from Bekele. This is before I met him, before I knew anything about him. And in that letter, he said, God has put on my heart to plant 250 churches around my community, in the districts around my community. Would you help me? And as I read that letter, my heart began to beat. And I felt as if I was having what Paul had, a Macedonian call. Remember that story in the book of Acts? Paul had wanted to go into Asia Minor to do his missions work, and he was prevented from going there by the Holy Spirit. Whenever he tried to enter Asia Minor, the Holy Spirit stopped him, shut the door. And Paul was frustrated by that, and he was praying about it. And one night he had a vision of a man from Macedonia. And the man was saying, come over here, come over here. And Paul was then released by the Spirit to go in that direction rather than this direction. And the rest is history. The gospel came to Rome, to Europe, and by extension to the United States and the Western Hemisphere because Paul heeded that call, because God spoke to him in that call that we now call the Macedonian call. And I was sensing that this is our Macedonian call. And so I brought that vision to the board of deacons here, and I said, guys, I think this is it. I said, but I want us to pray about this before we say yes to it. And so we committed to pray for 30 days to see if this seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. And so we went away for 30 days and we came back, and the board said to me, not only do we think that this is our call to plant these 250 churches in 2010, but we think we're supposed to unapologetically, aggressively go after it. So when you stand up and you finally tell the congregation, don't hold back. We believe that this is God's call upon our lives. And so between that time and now, we've been putting together a plan to do this. By the way, that plan and how you can be involved in it is in your bulletin today. I want you to look at that. It's in a little trifold brochure. And it talks about the Oromia project, the 250 church project. And I want you to read that through. I'm not going to ask you to do anything today. I'm going to ask you to pray about it. That's the one rule I have for all of this, is that when it comes to these defining moments, that we would go before God and we would say this one thing: God, what would you have me to do? God, what would you have me to do? And when God speaks to you, it's easy. You just do it. If God doesn't ask you to do it, then don't do it. He's reserving you for something else later on. There will be something else later on. But just pray and see what God would have you to do. And so what we have found out in our research and in our planning, that each church, the price has gone down, by the way. Isn't that good news? $1,600 instead of $1,850. $1,600 to plant the church, to support the pastor, to help the community out, to provide the kind of training and literature that they need. But what I love about this plan is that it also included in that price is microfinancing to enable that church to be self-sustaining and self-generating almost immediately. What we're going to do is enable the church, equip the church to buy a kilo of barley. That's kind of a cash crop in that area. And with a kilo of barley, they can plant a hectare, which is a little bit, I think, larger, if I'm not mistaken, than an acre. And I asked him, and that is very profitable in that area, if you are able to do that, and they can't afford it typically on their own, so we're going to provide that for them, what would that yield in a year? And they said in an average year, that would yield a crop equal to $1,500. Can you imagine? Now, even if we went more conservative than that, even if they didn't get that much, you realize what that could do? That could support that pastor almost within the first year, so that he's not dependent on us, which is what we want. That will enable them to build their own church building, so we don't have to do that for them. It's their deal. That enables them to buy even more seed for the next year so they can plant 2 hectares of barley. And you can see how this multiplies. But best of all, built into this is that they will have the resources to then send out their own missionary church planters. And so what's going to happen by that? The first go-round of this, we planted 1,000 churches in Ethiopia. We don't have to plant 1,000 churches this time. We can plant 250 because they are commissioned and committed to themselves going out and planting another 3 churches in the next 3 to 5 years, and they will have their own funding to do so. And so the 250 will become 1,000. And the 1,000 then will become 4,000. And the four, you do the math. Friends, I'm telling you, 10,000 churches in Ethiopia is not that far off. All of Ethiopia coming to know Jesus Christ is not that far off. This strategic nation in the Horn of Africa, winning it and then using its influence to evangelize the Muslim territories around the Sudan, Somalia, Djibouti, Eritrea, up into the Saudi Peninsula, and to stem the rising tide of Islam is possible. Seeing all of Africa won for Jesus Christ is possible, friends. And in this defining moment, in this little act of faith that God is calling us to, we can change the world. We really can. And I got to tell you this, 250 church planters have already been selected. I've seen the reports. I have a picture for you of one of the guys. Just roll up to that. I know I've gotten out of line here. They're ready to go. I read the testimony from this guy. You can't see it on here, but he said, God saved me, and now I'm giving my life to him, and I want to plant a church. And he said, in the next 2 years, I want to plant 2 more churches. This is just one of the guys that has already been selected by the 9 denominations of Ethiopia that are participating with us in that. And all they need is the resourcing, the funding to get started. And that's where we come in. That's where we come in. I'm going to ask you to pray about giving to this. There's ways for you to give that's listed out in the brochure, a one-time investment, or dividing it up and giving it over time, or perhaps partnering with other people. Maybe a Sunday school class wants to go together, maybe a ministry team, maybe 3 or 4 people. You'd say, you know what, I can't give $1,600, but I could give $400, and together you can do that. And I'll tell you, one of the cool things that we're going to do, we will allow you, however this comes in, however you tell us how you want to do it, but we will allow you to name the church yourself. I mean, you can name it the Rainoa Church of Ethiopia or the Portland Christian Center Church of Ethiopia, or whatever you want to call it. They don't care. In fact, you know, this isn't just egotism on our part, but they appreciate that because it says to them, we're partnered with them. You get to name the church. And then you will receive reports, progress reports, twice a year from that church planner. He will tell you how it's going. This many people have been saved. We baptized this many people. These are the miracles that are occurring. This is what's happening in our church. And you will be able to follow what God is doing there and have a part in it. You'll be able to go with us if the Lord releases you to do that, to go visit your church and to be a part in a physical way of what God has led you to do. I'm going to ask you to align your lives to do that. I'm going to ask you for the radical realignment of your lives and your finances to make an investment, because I'm telling you, the return on investment, the return on missions investment will be nothing less than astounding in your life and multiplied in this church. Now, just a couple of caveats, and I'm going to tell you a story and we'll go. For this to work, it has to be sacrificial giving. It has to be sacrificial giving on your part, where you say, God, how can I be a living sacrifice in this area? It can't be you taking from your tithes or your other missions offerings to do this. If you rob Peter to pay Paul, then Peter's going to be in trouble. And so I'm going to ask you to think about this above and beyond what you're doing now. In fact, I'm going to come back the last 2 weeks of this month as we do our missions convention, and I'm going to ask you to radically realign your resources to help us in our missions endeavors as well. I believe God is calling us this year to get serious about resourcing his kingdom work. And I think it's time for us to do that. And I'm going to do it myself. So I'm going to ask you to pray about this, and on the 31st, the last Sunday of this month, I'm going to ask you to bring your commitment back to and we'll present it to the Lord, and we'll see what God enables us to do. Now, let me tell you a quick story. You're wondering, can this church really do 250? You do the math, that's $400,000. That's $400,000 extra that we're going to invest this year. Can Portland Christian Center really do that? Can we afford to do that? I think so. The night that I got this letter, I couldn't sleep. I was so alive with excitement, anticipation. I couldn't wait to get started. I had a sleepless night that night. The next morning, I was scheduled to meet very early in my office with a friend of mine. And this had been scheduled before this vision had come. And so I met this man in my office. We had coffee. And I began to just blather on about this vision and this mission that God had put on, this burden that God had put on my heart. I talked to him about our plan and how it would cost this, and I really wasn't asking for anything. I just wanted to tell somebody. You know, Linda was tired of listening to me, and so I needed somebody else, and so I'm just telling this guy, and he just sat there. His eyes were kind of like this, kind of glassed over and rolling back in his head, and I thought, I'm just boring him to death as I blather on. So he got up and he left, and I thought, oh, okay, whatever. About an hour later, I got a call from this guy. Just unexpected, I got a call. And he said, Ray, if I give you $150,000 for this project, will you find matching funds at Portland Christian Center? I said, I'll sure try. And he's called several times since then, and he said, I want you to know, I'm committed to that. In fact, the money's in reserve, and it's not my money any longer. It's God's. It's God's money, and it's for this project. And so you tell the people that whenever they give, what they give will be doubled by what I'm going to do. Now, interestingly, you know, I believe that he's taking care of the things that God cares about by making this commitment. And I believe that God is going to take care of him for what he's done. About that same time, he's told me later that he'd been trying to buy a piece of property, a very expensive piece of property, and the deal had fallen through, and it's very disappointing to him. And he then got a call from his real estate agent and said, oh, I don't know if you're interested, but there's a property that we didn't know about that's right next door to this property that we couldn't get, and it's just been foreclosed upon. Would you be interested in it? And he said, Would I be interested? Yeah. And so they went and they looked at it, and it was perfect, and they made an offer. And the asking price was $150,000 less than what the adjacent property had been. Better property. He saved $150,000, and he called me up, and he says, look what God has done. And then he did a little researching, and he found out that they found out about this other property at the same time he had called me and made this commitment to give. Coincidence? I think not. I think God is at work, and he's authenticating that this bold step of faith, he will reward and he will resource as we obey him. And that will be true for you. If God tells you to do this, that will be true for you as well. It's not the only story. I've had others that have come up, and even before knowing that we're going to do this, saying, I want to plant a church. I want to do, what is it going to take? You know the story of Rada Arnalenu, who has gone blind, who said, I can't do anything anymore, but I can bake, and I want to bake, and I want to sell the goods here at the church if I can, and we have some of her stuff out at the coffee cafe out there, the coffee cart, and she now has $1,600, and she's going to plant a church. And she says, I'm not going to stop there. I'm going to do more. Pastor Cade was telling me that before they knew that we were going to do this project, the high school ministry has been collecting money, and the students are going to plant a church, and they almost have enough money to do so. Story after story like this. And so I know that God is in this. God wants us to change the world. And if we will step up and step out in this moment in time, we will change the world in 2010. Are you ready to go with me on this journey? I hope so. You know, this is a moment where a pastor finds out if he's really leading or if he's just taking a walk all by himself. So I believe that God is in this, and I hope you will give it some prayer, and then let's see what God will do. And just wait, just wait. The world is going to shift on its axis. The kingdom of God is going to come like never before to this land. And we're going to have the privilege of being used by God. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning. I pray that the Holy Spirit would come and just whisper to us right now. Because without revelation coming, without an inspiration coming from him, enlightenment, this will seem like just another appeal. That some crazy pastor wanting to do something and to bring glory to his own name. I don't want that. I don't want that. I want this to be a Holy Spirit moment. And so we just open our heart today and over the next few days and a couple of weeks to pray about this. And God, I pray that you would speak to those that should be involved in some way, some fashion. And if there are those that you're reserving for another project at another time, then Lord, speak to them as well and help them to be confident in what you've called them to do. And Lord, I pray that when this is all said and done, that we will plant, we will start something in this region that will spread with the rapidity of a prairie fire. The revival will come to this region as well. And region by region, we will plant churches. And then nation by nation, we will plant churches until nation after nation falls. Hell will be depopulated and heaven populated with converts, souls, Christ followers. God, that's my prayer. Let us be a part of that. God, let us be a part of that. And Lord, may that so touch and change and empower us here at Portland Christian Center that we'll get serious more than ever before about taking the same good news to the people next door, in our communities, in our schools, in our places of work. Father, it's my prayer. Just bring that enlightenment to us in this moment, I pray. While your heads are still bowed, just real quickly, I'm not going to keep you much longer. You know, changing the world happens one life at a time. God changes the world by changing one heart, one by one. And it may be that you're in this place today, and right now your heart's beating a little bit faster because you're saying, I've never fully committed my heart. I never fully surrendered my heart to God. And you know in your knower that you need to surrender. Give your heart to Jesus Christ this morning. We're going to have a final prayer, final part of this prayer. And if you want to be included in this prayer to surrender your heart, surrender your life fully to him this morning, I want you just to raise your hand up right now. Just slip it up and put it back down again. Yeah, yeah. Yes, yes, yes. All over, all over. Let's stand. Just lift your hands heavenward to the Lord. And if you lifted your hand to respond and give your heart to him, just make this your prayer. Lord, I pray that those that raised their hands a moment ago, I pray that they would be enabled now to surrender fully to you. And they will come into that wonderful category of people that you have found in the city of Portland, the Portland Christian Center, who you will now show your power to help them. God, I pray, take care of them, bring them into your family, bring them into your kingdom, and make them a partner with you to take your good news wherever they go. Lord, help us as a church just to be fully yours. We commit to that. Bless us, Lord. And help us to not only change the world around the world, help us to go out from this place committed to changing the world in the place where you've put us. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast, featuring part two of our new series, Taking the Whole Gospel to the Whole World for the Whole Man. If you live in the Portland area and are looking for a place to connect, please join us next Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. And for more information about our church, you can visit us online at www.pcctoday.com.